We're going to talk books now, and this week for our Morning Focus Book Club, we are going to discuss A Very English Scandal. It's written by John Preston. It's a true story. I recorded this one on Monday with Cora Gunter from the Clare County Library Service, and first of all, Brian Comerford. He's in Kilrush. He's a member of two local book clubs, including one which is a non-fiction book club. He told me about that, first of all.
Well, we have two book clubs in the library in Kilrush. We have the fiction book club, which is long established, and it meets on the last Wednesday of each month. Our non-fiction book club was established just last year by Noel Parsons, ex-Baltimore, but with Irish connections, and we meet on the second Wednesday of each month. And each book is our book club is magnificently supported by the dedicated staff of Kilrush Library, led by Francis Pender. And new members are always welcome.
Very good. Maybe not for the next few weeks in terms of the meetings and that sort of stuff, for obvious reasons, but I suppose reading only helps with giving people something to do at a time where they may have more free time.
Indeed, and do bear in mind that the library makes available e-books and audiobooks, which will be of great help to people during this current time.
Absolutely, and I'll be getting Cora to tell us about that in a few minutes. Can I just ask you about the non-fiction book club versus the fiction one? How are the members stacking up? Are more people fans of fiction than the real stuff?
Well, what was it? The membership is about the same, approximately 12 in each.
Okay.
In the fiction club, with the occasional exception, I tend to be the token male. but there is a very good distribution of the genders in the non-fiction book club.
Very good. So men, and I'll hold myself up and put myself firmly in this category, seem to be more into the non-fiction than the fiction.
Okay. Yes.
Cora Gunter, is that your experience in the library service generally as well?
Absolutely. Non-fiction book clubs are new to me. I think the Kilrush one is the first one I've ever come across. So it's great that it's there. And, you know, Brian, this is the second time Brian and I have reviewed a book, but each time it's been over the phone. I've
We'll do it in person the next time, I promise. At this time, we're bringing a lot of guests on over the phone for everybody's safety, as you can all understand. But we can still carry on and enjoy discussing what we've been doing in our solitary past times. Talking about John Preston's A Very English Scandal. Cora, will you mind telling us about the book and what it is, first of all?
Certainly. Well, as Brian and yourself mentioned there earlier, it's a non-fiction novel which tells the story of Jeremy Thorpe, who was an English MP and leader of the Liberal Party in the 1960s and 70s, who, in effort to avoid a former lover, lies, embezzles money and conspires to murder. And this fascinating story, which I had never come across before, a little bit before my time, was completely new to me. And the way John Preston has written the novel is is very like a novel. So it's quite gripping. And you're, you know, like for someone like me who knew nothing about it and had never come across it whatsoever, I couldn't believe like where the story brought
me. Yeah, absolutely. Did you know much about the story, Brian?
Yes, my children were small at the time and I used to get the Sunday Times and read it from cover to cover. So I literally knew everything that happened along the way. I'd give you an idea. Nicholas Shakespeare of The Telegraph, he gave the book 5 stars out of 5. And he notes that Preston tells this complicated story of cack-handed assassins, buffoonish policemen, dodgy home secretaries and sozzled judges simply and with relish. And I remember that because one of the things that that the protagonist in this case, that would be Norman Scott, he knew that if he could give details of his encounters with Jeremy Thorpe in court, he would be protected from the libel laws. And that was one of the things that had Thorpe terrified all the time.
Absolutely, indeed. And this, I mean, it's true to life. So normally I don't give away too much, but I mean, we've kind of given hints at where the story goes. And as you say, Brian, people may remember it because at the time it was a massive news story, particularly in the UK for obvious reasons.
Just think of the cast of characters. Jeremy Thorpe, the possessor of a dark secret, leader of the Liberal Party, successor to the mantle of David Lloyd George. Norman Joseph Scott, that was the dark secret. Mrs. Hitch, a Jack Russell, that was witness to the secret. Peter Bessel, a philandering MP and a living textbook on skirting with bankruptcy. David Holmes, his go-to man with access to a dodgy Channel Islands bank account, reminds us of what happened in Ireland at one point. Andrew Newton, the airline pilot and hitman on the side. Then Rinka, a great Dane in a tragic cameo. I won't tell you more. You need to read the book. George Carmen, the brilliant alcoholic lawyer. And Judge Cantley, the winner of the Olympic gold medal for most biased judge ever. Add in a missing suitcase, a found briefcase, and you will plot for an award-winning three-part TV series featuring Hugh Grant as Thorpe, Ben Whishaw as Norman Scott, and it's available on DVD through the library service.
That's well worth watching, because I saw that when it was out a few years ago. Cora, I think Brian is doing you out of a job in terms of laying the scene for this one. But I think one point that you make, Cora, that's worth delving into is the way in which this book is written. It is like a thriller. If you don't know the story, that's not a problem. It doesn't assume that you do. And the way it is written, it could just as easily be fiction. What makes it more extraordinary is that it's true to life.
Well, I had to check that a few times. I kept going, this can't be real. That really was the effect of this book. I just couldn't believe where the story ended up. I mean, initially, I felt very sorry for Scott. I mean, I kind of felt that, you know, his insurance card was a big issue for him. And I know the fact that he was doubted all the time, I can see nearly why it became kind of like a vendetta for him to have someone believe him, you know. And the fact then that Bessels, he was an intriguing character because he actually thought he was trying to help. And, you know, I mean, his whole portrayal of kind of wanting to help Thorpe and also help Scott, like, ended up conflicting and causing more issues as time went on, you know?
Absolutely. And did it, like, obviously then it gripped you. If you kept kind of checking the truth versus the page, it clearly intrigued you and you were very interested?
Absolutely, no. I was really interested. And, I mean, I was dying to get to the end of it and kind of, you know, I was kind of at a fast pace. I was kind of, you know, holding my breath till we got to it. I mean, to go to the trial and have one of the most amazing barristers, you know, who dismantled, you know, the witnesses and the favour of the judge as well, you know, in favour of Thorpe, and it kind of, again, that whole establishment kind of network closing in on itself. You just knew that Scott wasn't going to, you know, get his justice, so to speak, that he always felt he was entitled to.
And Brian, as somebody who knew the story and knew where it was going, you don't have that sense of intrigue or even danger to the same point because you know what's going to happen. So how was it as a reading experience for you?
Oh, it was fascinating. I would describe John Preston as the Miriam Lord of British politics when it comes to the writing. And that would give you an idea. It was so funny, so sad, so farcical. The last word really should go to Norman Scott on this. You know, what he said in relation to it is that artistic license is fine, but this wasn't my story. There's nothing funny about somebody trying to kill you. I'm portrayed in the, he's talking about the TV series, as this poor, mincing little gay person. But I also come across as a weakling, and I've never been a weakling. And he's still alive.
Yes, he is. Yeah, absolutely. Thorpe died, I think, only about 5 or 6 years ago as well. So, you know, this isn't in the far too distant past, although socially it kind of is, in terms of homosexuality still being a crime and that being at the heart of the scandal and probably, Brian, provoking people's actions as well in terms of this quote-unquote dirty secret that they were trying to hide.
Yes. It brings us back almost to the times of Magna Carta and the king in the form of Jeremy Thorpe saying, "Who will rid me of this turbulent gay?"
It's remarkable stuff, Cora. It's not, again, the not too distant past. What else jumped out to you as you were reading it?
Well, I suppose just how much of a cover-up there was, because, I mean, you know, Scott had gone to the police numerous times and nothing came out of that. Just that whole element of the establishment that really, I suppose, nobody wanted to face where they were going. But I did read a review that said that Thorpe was, you know, kind of interested in rights for people, and he was interested in the EU and the common market, and he was absolutely charming and urbane. So for me, that was kind of, you know, that whole frightening element of how charming a person can come across and then also have this deep, dark secret going on. And I mean, it was two or three times he suggested, you know, the plot to murder. So it wasn't just a one-off in desperation. It was, you know, this was his kind of fallback to each time, just to try and get rid of him, you know, every time he reappeared in his life.
Absolutely. As a book, Preston's A Very English Scandal. Would you recommend it, Cora?
Absolutely, yes. I definitely would say it's a great read and it's very intriguing. And as I said, for me, who knew nothing about this story whatsoever, it was a complete eye-opener to 60s and 70s establishment Britain.
And Brian, I think, I mean, from the way you've been speaking, I can already tell that you'll recommend it. But I think if there are people who are on the fence, I normally don't read non-fiction, the way that this is written means that it's not a kind of a dry factual book. There's drama, there's intrigue, there's a lot of context. It reads like a novel. It's one that's probably, while it is non-fiction, almost crosses the divide to fiction, if you know what I mean.
Yes, and in fact I was thinking there recently that when it comes to sex scandals, nobody does it better than the British, because at exactly the same time there was running the trials of Christine Keeler.
Yes, which the performer scandal.
The performer
scandal,
yes. The performer affair. And that features the dancer who shared her favours at the same time with the Minister for War, an attaché, translation spy, at the Russian embassy, while the Cuban crisis was at its height. And as if that was not enough, there were two West Indian gentlemen who were at pistol and dagger drawn for her favours as well. And the first time, I don't know, did you see it? Because I know you're familiar with it. The first time that they showed it, the usual disclaimer, you know, this is based on fact, certain episodes have been condensed for dramatic purposes. Yeah. But there was a further sentence. This is based on a true story. In fact, you could not make it up.
Absolutely, no.
That appeared on the screen.
Yes, yeah.
The only difference there, Gavin, though, is Profumo perhaps did get a little bit of redemption, unlike Thorpe, at the end, you know, because even though, like, the case went for Thorpe, I think he ended up, like, you know, losing out ultimately. He was shunned by the establishment himself.
He lost his seat a few years later, and kind of that was the end of him in public life, absolutely, indeed. The book, though, I mean, just finally to yourself, Brian, I mean, yes, we're recommending it, but to what extent? I mean, where does this rank in terms of books that you've enjoyed? How much did you enjoy it, if you know what I mean?
I enjoyed it thoroughly. In fact, there were times when how many non-fiction books will you read when you're likely to bust out laughing as you're turning a page?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a simple answer. I don't know whether Cora had that experience.
Well, no, I do love Miriam Lord. I mean, but then I think it's because I know the politician she's referencing to, and so that might make it more humorous. Whereas for me, this was the first time, so I perhaps need to read it again to get the humour. You know, because as I said, I did not know this cast of characters, and that's what they came across to me as, like, the cast of characters.
Okay, well, look, at either way, we all recommend it. It's a really, really nice book in terms of how it is written, and it's a remarkable story that is compiled very well by John Preston at A Very English Scandal. And Brian mentioned as well, there was a series a couple of years ago, the BBC did it with Hugh Grant in the starring role, that's worth your time as well, if you can ever find that one, including, as he said, told us, available on DVD from the Clare Library. Now, Cora, before I let you go, we are obviously in the midst of a remarkable situation in our history, and constraints and lockdowns, not lockdowns, but constraints and restrictions mean that we currently see a number of services closed, including the Clare Libraries. What's the situation there?
Yes, Gavin, we, like many other establishments, closed our doors on Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. And however, staff are continuing to work and they're getting in and doing behind the scenes jobs in the libraries. And one of the services that we continue to provide is our e-resources. So that includes BorrowBox, it includes e-magazines, e-learning and e-newspapers. So they're all still available from the Clare Library website. And, you know, you need to join the library. And one of the options that we've looked at nationally is to waive the completed registration step, which was to come in with your ID. So you can now join the library online and then ring up your branch to get your card converted so that you can access the e-resources.
Okay, so just join the library online. That's available through the Clare Library website?
That's right, yes. And then you're given a temporary number when you join online. And then what happens was, before this, you would physically come into the library with your ID and you'd get your temporary ID would be converted to a real ID. So for the moment, what we're doing is providing, we're taking that step out and providing the phone service where you can get your card number and PIN so that you will be able to avail of the various services. Now, these are all apps. Well, the BorrowBox, is an app, and the e-learning is an app. So you need to go onto the Clare Library website and download the app onto your device in order to access it. But you will be able to access e-audiobooks and e-books. And nationally now, there is a push to purchase more titles so that there will be more available. They're actually purchasing them and making them available for borrowing from today, Monday, in order to keep up with demand. So some items will be on reserve, but just put your reserve your book as you would normally, and you will get an email to say when it's available for you.
That's Cora Gunter with some brilliant advice from the Clare County Library Service. Sign up today. It's free of charge. And also you heard there from Brian Comer from Kilrush.